I invite you to remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. It comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verse 1, and then verse 7 to 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. The scripture that we just read takes place as Jesus has gathered with some Pharisees to eat a meal. And to be honest, it's sort of a weird dinner conversation. First, in the part that we skipped over, the Pharisees try to stump Jesus about whether or not he should heal on the Sabbath. The trick question, it doesn't really work, and instead the Pharisees seem to not know what to say, and there seems to kind of be a moment of awkward silence that Jesus decides to fill with these words that we just read. He talks to them about where to sit at a wedding and who to invite to a party. And on the surface, it almost seems like Jesus has just turned into Miss Manners. He's like one step away from put your napkin on your lap and make sure you use the correct fork. And it seems strange to me because that's not really the Jesus that we're used to. With all the times that Jesus breaks the norms in the gospel, is he really that concerned about people sitting in the seat as corresponds to their social status? I just don't think that's it. But there has to be some reason that Jesus is telling these stories. What if instead of instruction about proper social norms, Jesus is actually throwing the whole idea of norms out? What if Jesus is trying to show the Pharisees that in God's kingdom, what they look for honor and status doesn't count? What if Jesus is trying to show the Pharisees and even us today that who matters in the kingdom is very different from who we often think matters in our world? Now, if that's what Jesus is doing here, it takes this scripture and it moves it away from manners and etiquette. It makes the message something much more radical for how we live. But if you stick with me, I think it not only shows us a more challenging way to live, but this message, it also gives us some comfort that we desperately need. We're so used to status and honor mattering in our world that it can be difficult to even understand what Jesus is talking about. And yet we all know, too, what it's like to be treated with hospitality and how different it feels when that doesn't happen. Recently, Ben and I went out to dinner, and we went to a local restaurant, and as we walked in, we noticed that there were plenty of people sitting at tables and eating, but nobody seemed to be waiting. So we went to the hostess stand and said that there were two of us, and they told us it would be an hour wait. They asked our name, and they wrote it down on a blank piece of paper. We're prepared to give our phone number so that perhaps we could go somewhere else for the hour, but they didn't give us that option. So we went outside to talk, and we decided that this restaurant didn't really seem to want us to eat there. Maybe they thought we didn't fit in with the crowd, that we were too young or just not cool enough. So we decided to go to another restaurant, the Bistro on 130th, which is one of our favorites that we discovered through one of your generous pastor appreciation gift cards one year. We got there, and we found that it was also crowded. But we said that there were two of us, and they said, just wait 1 minute, we'll get a table out for you. And so they moved some stuff around, and they made some space for us, and we enjoyed a great dinner. And yet we know that our world so much often works the way of the first restaurant than the second. Rarely does it happen like Jesus describes, that somebody in a lower seat is called up higher. Rarely does it happen like Jesus describes, that the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind are the ones invited to the banquet. And that's because, as a society, we're always counting. We do it so much that we don't even realize that we're counting. But we are. We count our financial status. We count how much money and investments we have. We count the size of our homes, the year of our cars. We count the number of vacations we can take and the row of our seats on the plane. We count our social status. We count how many friends we have. We count how many likes we get on our kids' back-to-school pictures on Facebook. We count our influence. We count how many people we can get to listen to us at work. We count our promotion. We count our family and personal successes. We count the number of years we've been married. We count the number of kids and grandkids we have. We count the number of jobs and homes and college acceptances that those kids and grandkids get. We even count at church. We count the number of people here, and we count the number online. We count the number of years we've been a member of the church. And as we count, we're always comparing our counts to other people's counts. We all do this in so many ways. When I was in middle school and high school, I used to write down the outfit that I wore every day to school and keep track so that I wouldn't repeat outfits. This is true. It started with not repeating the same outfit for 2 weeks, and by the time I was in my final years of high school, I was trying to go 6 weeks without repeating the same thing. I could do it. But I had convinced myself that other people actually cared about this. They don't, I realize now as an adult. But it didn't stop me from counting, because that was so ingrained in me as what mattered and about who I was. And there was something I thought about my worth and my identity that came from the clothes that I wore to school and how often I wore them to school. And we all do this, whether we realize it or not, because we have fallen into our trap of the world, that this is where our identity and our worth comes from. We think the seat that you have at the wedding banquet somehow matters in the kingdom of God. But what Jesus is doing here is saying that you are free from that counting. Even if by the world standards you are at the lowest seat, in God's kingdom you're going to be invited to the best seat. Because you are a child of God, and that's where your identity and worth comes from. And that's what matters, not any of those things we count. Now, don't worry, this isn't some challenge scripture that's going to tell you that you have to get rid of all that stuff. Go ahead and invest money and buy a house if you want to, and even fly first class. Jesus isn't against you having some extra leg room. That's okay. And celebrate it if you make it to 50 years of marriage, and enjoy your kids and grandkids, and make a lot of friends. But don't ever think for a minute that any of that is where your identity and your worth comes from, because Christ frees you from that. Your identity is first and foremost beloved child of God. Your worth comes from being unconditionally loved by Christ. In the kingdom, we're all invited to the highest seat, not because of anything we count, but because we are beloved children of God. There's no pecking order in the kingdom of God. Your membership in God's kingdom, it doesn't come from your success or your accomplishments or your wealth or anything about how you see yourself or how anybody else sees you. Your membership in God's kingdom comes solely from how God sees you. Jesus doesn't come to offer us some sort of contractual relationship where if we do X or earn Y or appear Z, Jesus will offer us salvation and love. No, Jesus says, come, you belong here. My grace is for you because that's how the kingdom works. We don't claim God through what we do or what we have or where we sit. God claims us. And all that, it's a message of freedom. We're free from the counting. We're free from worrying about what seat we can have at the banquet. Because there are more than enough good seats to go around in the kingdom. There's more than enough love and grace and hope to go around in the kingdom. So what does that mean for us? If we're free from counting, if we trust that our identity and worth comes from being beloved children of God, how do we live? Well, we're able to live the second half of this scripture. When Jesus tells the Pharisees to invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind to the banquet. When we're free from counting, we're free to be kind to everybody around us. We're free to treat everybody as beloved children of God, because that's where their worth and their identity comes from. My grandpa was great at this. He treated everybody that he came into contact with as though they mattered greatly. He wasn't particularly outgoing, but if you didn't go to a restaurant with him without him knowing the name of the waiter or the waitress, and at the place he frequented, the important things happening in their lives as well. He was an accountant who gave the same care of the work he did to the old ladies who paid him in cookies as he did to the wealthy business owners. And as he got older and he started going to more doctors, he learned the name of every receptionist at every doctor's office. My aunt told a story of one time taking him to a doctor with a new receptionist and seeing my grandpa after he asked her her name, write it on his appointment card so that the next time he came back, he would remember her name. In his obituary, it was the nurse at his kidney doctor who got a special thank you by name for the care that she provided to him. That's how a person lives who's free from counting. That's how we can live when we are free from counting. There are already so many examples of this happening in our own church. We're living free from counting and we're living as beloved children of God when Blue Bus kitchen crews make meals for Blue Bus guests that are of the quality that they would serve to their own dinner guests. We're living free from counting and we're living as beloved children of God. When Kids Hope mentors work through math problems with the same diligence they would give to their own kids' or grandkids' homework. We're living free from counting, and we're living as beloved children of God. When we welcome a newer person to our church, to a small group, or to a ministry, and give them the same sense of belonging that we would give to somebody who's been here for 50 years. In the kingdom of God, we're free from counting. In the kingdom of God, nobody is waiting an hour for a table. There's space made for everybody. In the kingdom of God, we're identified first and foremost as children of God. In the kingdom of God, our worth comes from Christ claiming us as his own. In the kingdom of God, there is no pecking order. So we can treat everybody as those that deserve the highest seat, because in God's eyes, they do. So stop counting. You don't have to do it anymore. You're free to live as a child of God. You're free to treat others as children of God. The highest seat at the banquet is for you. The highest seat at the banquet is for everybody. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you that through Christ, we are set free from counting, that we are free to live first and foremost as your beloved children. Lord, help us to claim that identity and worth for our own. And Lord, guide us to treat others as your beloved children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.